see you, we shall be like you. We want to glorify your name because there's a home waiting for us in heaven. Whether the devil likes it or not, we are going to make it. So we just want to bless your name. And Father, we are praying tonight that in a very special way you will speak to us. Not necessarily what we want to hear, but what you know we must hear, so that our lives will never be the same. Father, do this, and we'll give you all glory, we'll give you all honor. For we have prayed with thanksgiving in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We want us to go straight to the Word of God as we turn to Matthew chapter 27. And I'll be reading verse 46. Matthew 27, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When you read this passage, you begin to wonder, could this have really come out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus? I mean, I used to think that it's only human beings who query God. How could the Son of God himself be asking God this kind of question? Because from time to time we had asked God, God, why? Why me? Why had this happened to me? Why is it that I prayed and you have not answered? Why is it that I asked for healing and healing seemed to be late in coming? Why did I ask for promotion and there was no promotion? Why, God? Why? And the interesting thing is that most of the time you ask a question, you don't get an answer. Because here, Jesus didn't get an answer. God was silent. And so tonight we want to talk briefly on when God is silent. I've always wondered, why is it that at times we want to hear from God and we don't hear from Him? There are some of us who, by His very special grace, do hear from Him once in a while. Most of the time when you want to hear from Him very, very seriously, He keeps quiet. And I just want to share with you some things I discovered about the silence of God. And the first thing is that God is not a talkative. He doesn't talk like many people say He talks. Several preachers who will tell you that God spoke with them for 3 hours every day. Each time I hear that, I always say, are they talking about the God that I know? Because when you go through the scriptures, if you look at the book of Isaiah, the old book of Isaiah, big as it is, well, you say, oh, God must have spoken a lot to Isaiah, but that's all that He said to him in a whole lifetime. Throughout the life of Isaiah, that's all He told him. Big Isaiah himself. So when you see somebody who is always saying, the Lord said, every second, somebody must be lying. God is not a talkative. I mean, the Bible says in Psalm 62, verse 11. Psalm 62, verse 11. He said, God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this. The second time you heard it, it's through an echo. He spoke once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. God is not a talkative. And it does not have to be. You see, because each time he speaks, something happens. So he has to watch his words. The Bible says so in Psalm 33, verses 8 and 9. Psalm 33, verses 8 and 9, it said, "Let all men fear God, for he spake and it is done." He says, "My word will not return to me void." He said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." So he has to watch it. He can't just speak for fun. When he speaks, it's done. So he has to be careful. It's like the president of the United States. He has to watch what he says. Because there's so much power behind what he says. So God is not a talkative. We need to take note of that. That might be one of the reasons why he doesn't talk as often as we want him to talk. The second reason, of course, is that he's sovereign. He's the Almighty God. He's not your servant. So when you call on him, he doesn't have to answer immediately. It's not in your employment. You can't sack him if he doesn't answer you. If anything at all, he can sack you. And if you petition the President of the United States, he will answer you when it's convenient for him. Not necessarily when it's convenient for you. And the Bible says in Psalm 115, verse 3, Psalm 115, verse 3, he said, "Our God is in the heavens, and he does whatsoever pleases him." Whatsoever pleases him. If he pleases him, he will answer you. If he doesn't, he keeps quiet. And there's nothing you can do about it. Back home in Africa, we have a saying. God has passed judgment on you, and you say you are appealing. Now, who's going to be your lawyer? And to which judge are you appealing? When the Almighty God said, "This is settled," then it is settled. He does as he pleases. But then there could be a third reason why God could be silent. And that could be because he didn't even hear all that you've been trying to say to him. Maybe you've been calling on him. You want an answer from him. And he didn't hear. How could he answer what he has not heard? Oh, is it possible for God not to hear when I call? Well, subject to certain conditions. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 59, I want to read that to you. Verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Meaning, if there is sin in your life, you may call, I may not hear. And if he doesn't hear, then how can he answer? Because that was exactly what happened when Jesus Christ hung on that cross. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter 2, verse 24, it says, "He who himself on his body bore our sins on the cross." While he was on the cross, he was covered by the sins of the whole world. So even when he was crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm sure God didn't even hear that. Because sin separates from God. So if there is sin in your life, and then you begin to ask God to answer certain things, you begin to query him, he wouldn't even hear.
which is saying that one of the things we need to settle tonight, because of the greater things God will be doing tomorrow and Sunday, is to check. Is there a sin in my life that could prevent God from hearing me? Because if there is, then you need to get rid of that sin. Because I believe very firmly that it was God's plan that I should be here at this time. It's probably the first time I'm spending Easter outside Africa. And for God to say, go, there must be somebody he wants to minister to in this congregation. Somebody so precious to the Almighty God that he says, go. And if God wants that done, then we shouldn't waste the time. In other words, I should not just discuss something that will tickle our ears. And then at the end of the day, the whole purpose of God will be defeated. If there is sin in your life that you know, you won't tolerate sin. If you are living in sin, and yet he's answering your prayers, what kind of God will he be? I told my children while I was coming on this journey, they escorted me to the airport, and I told them, I had planned for you to travel abroad during your vacation. But from what I'm seeing in your reports, he does not look likely. I said, because if you are not doing very well and I reward you for not doing well, I will be destroying you. Because then you will think that failure can be rewarded. But I said, good enough, you still have some 4 months to redeem yourself. If you now go back and begin to work hard, so that by the time the long vacation comes, you are already what you are supposed to be, then you'll be rewarded. If God is rewarding a sinner, that will be terrible. If the sinner is the one who is prospering, if the sinner is the one who is making it in life, then who will have an incentive to live a holy life? Who will want to do the will of God if those who are breaking his will are getting on? So if there is anything in your life that you know might be separating between you and your God, deal with it tonight. And then you'll be amazed at what will follow. Because another reason why God might be silent is if your obedience to his will is incomplete. I believe I shared this one before, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I can't remember now, or maybe not here, but if you remember, I mentioned the story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. If you read from verse 1 to 4, God promised Abraham 7 blessings, subject to 3 conditions. He told him to get out of his father's house, to get out of his family, and 3, go to the land that he will show him. Do these 3 things, I will give you 7 blessings. They are all there in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. Abraham got out of his father's house. He went to the land that God said he would show him. But he didn't get out of his family. He took Lot with him. And when he arrived where God said he would be blessed, he ran straight into a famine. And from the famine, he ran to Egypt and got into bigger trouble because the king just took over his wife. When God intervened in Egypt and He got out of Egypt
with his wife,
untouched.
Praise God.
He took Lot along with him also.
So he got to another place,
and the problem multiplied. And God kept quiet. God said nothing. But by the time we got to Genesis chapter 13, if you read from verse 14 to 17, I think I read that. So we get the point. Genesis chapter 13, reading from verse 14 to 17. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thy eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it unto thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." From the time God spoke to Abraham and said, "Get out of your father's house, get out of your kindred, go to the land that I will show you," until the time that Lot was separated from him, God did not speak again. He kept quiet. As the man kept on suffering, God said, "Well, since your obedience is incomplete, suffer on." See, as far as God is concerned, he will prefer that you don't obey him at all, or you obey him completely. He does not like anyone who will obey him halfway. He says, "You are either hot or you are cold. When you are lukewarm, that's serious trouble." And many of us Christians are lukewarm. We do not obey him completely. Many of us don't even pay our tithes completely. The pastor didn't tell me that. I just happen to know that that's true all over the world. It's true in Africa. So I'm sure it's true here too. In fact, I've discovered that it is easier for poorer people to pay their tithes than for the rich ones. Because the rich one will not be looking at what is left. He'll be looking at the size of the tithe he's paying. If you are paying your tithes and giving your offerings, but you are not witnessing, you're not winning souls, your obedience is incomplete. If you are praying, but you are not studying the word, your obedience is incomplete. Because this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You have to meditate in it day and night. So if your obedience is incomplete, do something about it. Might be the reason why you are not hearing from God. Might be the reason why you're silent. But then there is good news. And the good news is, another reason why God might not be talking to you might be because everything you are talking to him about is under perfect control. And so he feels there's no reason to talk. "Lord, I need your help. Why don't you say something?" And he turns to you and he finds that all your problems are already solved. So he turns away and says, "Let's concentrate on those who need help." Your own problem had already been solved. And I want to spend some time on that to encourage us so that we look forward with hope and assurance. You will remember when God spoke to Abraham and said, that's in Genesis chapter 22, and said, "Go and sacrifice your son to me on a particular mountain." It took Abraham 3 days to get to that mountain. Even though it's not recorded in the Bible, I am sure Abraham was afraid in those 3 days.
Yeah, at least you would have changed from God.
Are you sure you have not changed your mind?
Because God said it clearly. He said, your only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. In other words, God said, don't tell me that you love him. I know it. And yet I want him sacrificed. During those 3 days, if it were you or me, we would discuss the matter again with God. God, I know you asked me to go and sacrifice this boy. I'm already on the way. But are you sure that you have not changed your mind? During those 3 days, God was silent. There was not a single word spoken to Abraham. Why? Because God has already provided a ram. He's provided a substitute. There was nothing to discuss. All he was waiting is to find out, will this man pass his test? And as soon as he passed his test, God spoke to him again and said, because you have demonstrated your love for me, because it is now clear that you love me more than even your son, now it's by myself I swear, I will bless you so much, the whole world will hear about it. And we are still hearing about it today.
How could give you another example? Many times we call on the Almighty God and say, Father, I need deliverance. How are you going to deliver me from this situation? And God will be silent.
Because he has already given the assignment to an angel.
He's given an angel an assignment,
go and deliver this fellow. And once he settled that one, there's nothing more to talk about. I give you an example or two. Take the case of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 21 to 22. I'm sure you know the story of Daniel very well. The king made a decree through the plotting of some princes and governors, and nobody must ask anything from any man or any god except from the king for 30 days. And Daniel heard about that and said, there's no way I can do without talking to my God. You break this decree, you go to the lion's den. Daniel said, fine, we'll discuss it with God. And I'm sure he prayed. He prayed before they brought him before the king. And after the king said, well, there's nothing I could do, you go to the lion's den, he must have prayed. And God was silent. Why? Because long before they brought Daniel to the lion's den, an angel was already waiting. The mouths of the lions were already closed. So what is there left to discuss? He got in there, the king came the following morning, and if you read it, verse 21 and 22, Daniel, are you still alive? He said, oh yes, my God has already sent an angel to stop the mouth of the lions. See, our God is a God of action. He would rather act than talk. Because as we know very well, talk can be cheap at times. Some people who will talk, who will not act. But don't believe me, ask the politicians. But then at times, God will act. But he will wait for the moment when his action will have the greatest impact. So you say, well, why? If he's a God of action, why has he not acted so far in my situation? Maybe he's waiting for the time when the testimony will be complete. When the testimony will be an earth shaker. A very good example is found in Acts of the Apostles chapter 12. From verse 5 to 11. Acts 12, verse 5 to 11. It's the story of Peter. The Bible said, Herod decided to put Peter in prison. And then the church was praying. They were praying, and I'm sure one of the things they must have been asking God is, what's going to happen to Peter? Because prophets were there.
apostles were there. They expected the Holy Spirit to say, "All right, I've heard your cry. Don't worry, we'll let Peter go free." Or, because James had just died, "Don't worry, he's going to follow James soon." But God said nothing. And God did not do anything until the night before they were going to kill him. Bible said, when Herod was thinking of bringing Peter into execution the following morning, that night, God acted. You see, God is never too late. He's always on time. He may not talk, but he's acting. And he's fully aware of what he's doing. And then an angel came and brought Peter out. The doors opened on their own accord, and after the angel and Peter got out, the door closed again. The following morning, Herod said, "Go and bring that man. I'm sure the people must have been there waiting. They wanted to watch a saint being put to death." And they were disappointed. I'm convinced that after today, your enemies will be disappointed too. Because when they got to the prison, they found the prison doors closed. But they discovered the prisoner had gone. I believe the same thing is going to be true of you. But then, at times, God is silent. Because he has decided to go ahead of you and wait for you where it is most crucial. A very good example of this is found in Daniel chapter 3. In the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When that king brought up an idol and said, "If you don't bow to my idol, you go to the furnace." If you read the entire story, you find that God did not say a word there. All the discussions that went on were between Nebuchadnezzar, those who came to report Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego themselves. God did not say a word. And I'm sure this man must have wondered, "God, we had boasted about you. We had confessed. We believed with our hearts. We confessed with our mouths. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us." And nothing seemed to be happening. God did not say a word. I'm sure they must have thought, maybe while they are binding us and they are carrying us into the fiery furnace, God will thunder from heaven and just wipe out the soldiers. No, he didn't do anything like that. Why? Because he was already waiting for them in the fiery furnace. Maybe God is already waiting for you and he's saying, "Son, daughter, come on. It's not the time to talk. This is a time for action. I'm already waiting." I said this one long ago. I said, before your problem, God has prepared the solution. He had always done that. If he has to wait till the problem starts before he prepares the solution, it will be late. And by the time these people got into the fiery furnace, in verses 24 and 25, they met the Almighty God waiting there. And the fire had no effect anymore. So maybe the problems that you think will consume you, that you are praying so hard about, asking God, "When will you do something?" He might be saying, "I've already done something. That problem is not going to destroy you. It's going to lead you to promotion. Because I'm already waiting for you. I'm just saying, come on, son. Come on, daughter. Let's have some fellowship in the fire. So we can work out together. And you can be promoted." Then once in a while, the Lord is silent and will not do what you expect him to do when you expect him to do it, because whether you believe it or not, once in a while, God wants to perform his miracle in the presence of an audience. Once in a while, he needs an audience. Not to impress you, you already know him as the Lord and Savior. And at times he needs an audience so that the audience will know that there's a living God. I may remember David said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." I love that passage. It means once in a while God loves to show off. And I give a very good illustration. You find this one in Judges chapter 15. Let's read that one together. You see what I mean there. Judges 15. Let's read from verse 11 to 15. Judges 15 from verse 11 to 15. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us?" And he said unto them, "As they did unto me, so have I done unto them." And they said unto him, "We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines." And Samson said unto them, "Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves." And they spake unto him, saying, "No, but we will bind thee first, and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee." And they bound him with two new cords, and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. 3,000 men of Judah, brothers of Samson, went to him on the rock and said, "We have come to bind you and hand you over to the enemies." That's a very surprising passage. But then Jesus Christ said, a man's enemies will be people of his own household. "We have come to bind you, we your brothers, and hand you over to the enemies." Well, Samson said, "Well, that's okay. Let's just reach an agreement. You promise that you will not kill me yourself, because if you make that effort to kill me, I will be compelled to defend myself." "No," they said, "we won't kill you," I said. "We just bind you and hand you over to the enemies." They said, "That's fine." And they bound him, and God was watching and said nothing. They brought him down from the rock. God was watching, and he said nothing. Until they brought him to the enemies. And God now knew he has an audience. The enemy saw him, and they shouted, and then God acted. The Holy Spirit came mightily upon him. All his bonds were loose. He found the job of an ass and demonstrated that God, with one man, can destroy at least 1,000 enemies before the others will flee. Because I'm sure if the others had stayed, more would have died. And when they saw that within a short time, 1,000 of them were dead, they all said, "Wait a minute. I think discretion is the better part of valor. If we run today, we live to fight tomorrow." God, at times, needs the audience of unbelievers before he will perform a miracle in the life of a saint, so that when the testimony comes, these people will be able to say, "We were there when it happened." But then at times, God may be silent because he had preset the time. Born is mine. That first son is going to be the greatest of all men born of a woman in the Old Testament. But the Almighty God has decided this son will be only 6 months older than Jesus Christ. And the time of arrival of Jesus Christ in the flesh was already set. So Zechariah prayed. Elizabeth wept. They fasted. They did everything. The Bible said they were blameless.
And God said nothing.
Because if he told them, wait, I'm coming. After they've waited 30 years, they will say, we are not sure he's coming.
So he didn't bother to speak. Just kept quiet.
When the time came, and he now spoke, sent an angel, go and tell this man, the time has come now. That thing which you have been asking for, you will now get. The man said, I'm too old now. Unless you give me a sign.
I've been calling on you all this year. What were you looking at?
When I was young, you didn't do anything. Now I'm old. Give me a sign. God said, well, I give you a sign. I will show you what I can do that I can be quiet. So you too will be quiet until the child is born. And for 9 months, poor Zechariah, it got into the school of the silence of God. But why Zechariah was silent and God was silent, the baby grew in the womb. See, God may be quiet, he's walking. Oh yes, he's not sleeping. The Lord Jesus Christ said, my Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. He's busy. He had heard your cry. Believe me honestly, unless there is sin in your life, if there's no sin in your life, he had heard. And though he might not have answered, he might not have said anything, that doesn't mean he's not busy. He's already working something out. Well, finally, maybe another reason why he has not answered might be because he has a better idea. Maybe you are asking for something and he has something better to give you. That was exactly what happened in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ anyway, when he hung on the cross. Because according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11, Philippians 2, verse 5 to 11, the Bible told us that Jesus Christ became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. As a result of which, God himself has highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every other name. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Maybe God, if God had answered and said, my son, what do you want? Probably he would have said, I've been discussing this thing with you since yesterday. I said, I want this cup to pass over me. I mean, can't you hear all these people saying, if I be the Son of Man, the Son of God, I should come down? Well, I have shed some blood now. Why don't I come down? He could have come down. They won't have a name that's above every other name. You see, many a times we're asking God for a car, and what he wants to give us is an aeroplane. I know what I'm talking about. Years ago, before I was called into the ministry, I was a senior professor in the university. And I was living in a mansion. Then the call into the ministry came. And the church was very small in those days. Very small, very poor. So when I came into the ministry full time, I was living in a room. My wife was left back in the university where I was lecturing because she too was teaching there. But after 9 months, my wife was to join me where I was in Lagos. So I went to the Lord in prayer. Lord, you know I've surrendered my life to you. And whatever you say, that's what I will do. I will serve you under any circumstance. Any. You know that. I can't deceive you. But my wife is coming. My children are coming. How are we all going to live in a room?
It's not going to be easy. I know your grace will be sufficient. But if at all is possible, I will appreciate a little house. And I prayed again and again and again. Finally, one night he spoke to me and said, "Son, don't ask me for a house because I've decided to give you a city." Of course, I didn't understand what that meant. "Now you give me a city, are you going to drive the people of Lagos away because of me? Who wants to live alone in a city anyway?" But I'm praying that one of these days you'll be able to come to Nigeria and you'll see that God has fulfilled His promise. Because He just showed us a jungle which we got for almost nothing. And little by little we began to build a place. And now it is a little city. It has everything the city has. Electricity, water of our own that no government has any control over. We have a school. We have a maternity center because I love children. Well, the only thing we don't have is a police station because by the grace of God, we don't really need one. Maybe you are asking for something and God has something better in store for you. Maybe the reason why He hasn't answered you yet. Or it might be, maybe He's trying to say something to you and you're not even listening. That alternative is there. I know that because I experienced that also. Years ago, I was crying to the Lord. It was 1979. Every night, when everybody is asleep, I will stay awake and cry to the Lord all night. "Okay, Lord, we have agreed that I will serve you. But I don't want to be an ordinary minister. I want to be a powerful one. I need power to do your work, Lord. Give me power. I'm not asking you to give me money. I'm not asking for clothes. I'm not asking for cars. I'm asking for power to do your work. Give me power, Lord." And I will cry from many a times from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. And nothing happened. For months. Then one night he spoke and said, "Will you keep quiet?" And listen. Of course I jumped for joy. Because at long last he's speaking. Even though it might sound like a rebuke. So I say, "Yes, Lord." I thought that was the first time I broke through, but all along he had wanted to speak. But I wouldn't allow him. I kept on bombarding heaven with my request. And he said to me, "You're asking for power." I said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "The one you have, what have you done with it?" "The one I have?" I said, "Yes." "If I have it, will I be asking for it?" And he said unto me, "Son, what is written in Acts chapter 1 verse 8? And of course, I know that offhand. No, it's one thing to know the Bible offhand, it's another thing to know it in your heart. "Oh, you receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." He said, "Repeat that." I repeated it. And then he asked me, "Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit?" I said, "Yeah, I mean, years ago." "Is my word true?" I said, "Yes, it is. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then how come you're asking for power?"
Is my word true? I said, yes, it is. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then how come you're asking for power? The why you have, what have you done with it? But Lord, I want to be able to heal the sick. And so he said, have you laid hands on the sick and they did not recover? And of course, I've not done so because I was afraid that if I lay hands on them, they won't recover. Well, I am being honest with you. And don't laugh at me. Some of you are like that. I mean, there are many of us here who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. If God asks you today, do you have power? You will say, me? So that night I said, Lord, in that case, I'm happy then, but I don't feel anything. And he said, where is it written that the just shall live by feelings? I said, good then. The next sick fellow I see, I'm going to lay hands on the fellow. And he was quiet. Didn't hear anything after that. The very following morning, when I woke up late because, as usual, I had been praying all night. I came to my living room to find that a member of the church had brought a patient to my living room. This woman had a child. The child had been ill for weeks. The child had not been able to sleep for 2 weeks. And the hospital said, there's nothing more we could do for this child. Go home. And this member of the congregation said to the woman, come to my pastor. He will pray for your child. Your child will be well. You know how members of the congregation get pastors in trouble, don't you? I wonder why he didn't pray for the child himself. So there they were in my living room. And when they told me the story, my legs began to shake. And then the Holy Spirit reminded them, but you said yesterday night that if you, the first fellow you see, you will lay hands on the first. Now I've given you an opportunity. And I said, that was yesterday night. Today is a different day. But then there was nowhere to run to. So I had to take the child and pray. And I was praying, of course, with my eyes closed. And as I was praying, the child went limp. And I thought within me, the child is dead. And when I opened my eyes, the child was fast asleep. And that was the end of the problem. Since that time, I've not stopped laying hands on people. I'm not saying that all of them survived. Some died, but I didn't stop. So why is it that God had not spoken to you? Brethren, tonight we're going to do two or three things. First, we're going to examine our lives. Is there any sin, known sin in my life, that could block the ears of God so that he won't hear me? If there is, you're going to confess that sin to God. Is my obedience incomplete? If that is the situation, you have to take a strong decision tonight that from now on, I will obey God and obey him completely. If you are not in either of these two categories, then you still need to apologize to God for doubting him, for thinking that the Almighty God, the one who says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thought of good, not of evil, that you can ever dream that the one who promised, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, for one moment had been away from your side, you need to apologize to him. I say, Lord, I'm sorry for doubting you because you didn't answer me when I expected an answer. You need to say sorry. So you were going to do that now. After which, I will tell you the next thing we will do. Because I believe that tonight is going to be a turning point in the lives of many of us. So I'm going to give you 2 minutes to meditate on what you've just heard. And whichever of the 3 prayers you need to pray, maybe you have a sin that you need to confess to God and ask for forgiveness. Maybe it is your obedience that is incomplete and you want to settle that with the Almighty God. Maybe you want to apologize to Him for ever doubting that He left you for a minute. I want to give you 2 minutes. When you have thought about it, if you want to come to the altar, you are free to come and come and talk to the Almighty God. Let's do that now, just for 2 minutes. Let's ask Him to forgive sins, if there are any in our lives, and repent of them. Or if we know that there are certain areas where our obedience is incomplete, let's settle that with Him also. If you've been living a life of holiness, a life of purity, and you have been wondering why He had not answered you, maybe you need to apologize to Him for ever doubting Him for a second. Because such a faithful God, such a loving God. Thank you, Father. So let's call on Him. Let's discuss with Him intimately. You know where you stand with Him. If there's any particular area where your obedience is incomplete, work on that now. If you have not been praying like you should, if you have not been studying the Word of God like you should, if you have not been meditating on the Word like you should, if you have not been giving like you should, if you have not been witnessing like you should, discuss this issue with Him. Say, Father, I'm sorry. I will obey You completely from now on. I just need Your strength. I need Your grace. I need Your support.